back to the podcast, everyone. Today, I wanted to talk about something that is pretty common, which is overthinking and perfectionism. I think a lot of people kind of shrug it off as their personality, like me, definitely, and don't really realize it's an actual form of anxiety. So today on the podcast, I have Meredith Arthur, who I'm really excited to talk to. She is the content lead at Pinterest, and she focuses on the mental health initiative there. She created the wellness website, Beautiful Voyager, and just came out with her new book, Get Out of My Head, which I have right here next to me. And I just got to say, I love your book. It's helped me, definitely, because I'll talk about this more, but I'm definitely an overthinker. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy the book helped you. That means so much to me. It's kind of like magic, actually. You write something, you have no idea like what people will think or how it will be received. And then the idea that it like arrived to you, you read it and it meant something to you is huge. It's so huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a great book and I'm still kind of going through it. And the mini book is, I know you talked about this at the Bring Change to Mind thing, but it's so cute and just like, I love it.
I was like really fixated on that mini book. I was really wanting a thinking part of the book and a feeling part of the book. And the mini book is supposed to be a feeling part of the book.
Yeah, because there's those two kind of like sides of it. So you've talked about how your form of anxiety is more overthinking and perfectionism, and I definitely feel that. So when did you realize this was happening and come to accept it?
Great question. I originally called myself an overthinker in social media years before I even knew I had an anxiety disorder. So I was grasping at trying to describe myself. And this was in like 2012, 2013. And so I would just say I'm an overthinker. That was like part of my little handle bio in different social media. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know if I was saying it with pride or it just seemed like a description of me. I didn't have any thoughts about what it meant. And it wasn't until I was diagnosed with an anxiety disorder that it came together. That like what often, if you talk to mental health professionals, they'll say, do you worry? Are you a worrier? And I never thought of myself that way. I wasn't worrying. I was trying to solve things. So for me, it was always about solving.
Yeah. And sometimes you think, that's like what I was saying earlier, like sometimes you just think it's part of your personality, and that's definitely the same for me, but you don't realize it kind of comes together as like that is a form of anxiety, and that is worrying. Or I feel like it's different for everyone. Like for you, you said you are a problem solver, but for some people they worry more, and it's all of these things that are kind of all under this umbrella of overthinking and then also anxiety. So yeah. So just for those who don't know, what is it like living as an overthinker or perfectionist?
So when I was young, I just had a monologue in my head all the time. And that monologue was very curious about the world and always asking a lot of questions and like running, kind of like a hamster wheel a little bit. Like, why is that person like that? Why am I different? Am I different than other people? What is regular? What is normal? And just asking the same questions again and again. So being an overthinker is kind of like, it's kind of like a really busy, amped up interior monologue.
Yeah, I definitely resonate with that. Cause from my experience, it's kind of this like constant feeling, I always feel like I'm not doing enough and I could be doing more. And that's kind of like the perfectionist part of it, but it's always like, I'm not doing it right. And it's definitely the inner critic telling you things, and it kind of becomes overwhelming.
Yeah. And there's this feeling that if I only did this, like things would be good. I had a lot of like, if I only could say this the right way, then this would happen. And it took me a really long time to realize like that does not exist. Things are out of my control that I actually, and communication is imperfect. Like there is no saying something perfectly.
Exactly. And I wrote that down because I wanted to talk about that, but we can talk about that now, how you say you tell yourself you're not allowed to say that. And I think that's definitely something I'm trying to work on, because I'm definitely the type of person who is like, I'm indecisive and I'm like, well, what if this, and I wish I had done that. You know what I mean? And it's always like regrets, and that's it. It's overwhelming and it comes back, and it's a heavy feeling to have to always carry that. Like, I wish I had done this instead. But yeah.
And Mia, I don't think you're necessarily indecisive. Like, you're not indecisive. You're just overwhelmed by thinking of all these options, and you're taking in a lot of information around them, and you're trying to make the right answer. And it may come off to others as indecisive, but actually what's happening is just this perfectionism, is a desire to choose the right thing all the time.
Mm-hmm. And that's, now that I think about it, it's definitely like the overthinker in me, because when I'm choosing a color of new shoes to get, I'm like, well, what if I don't like it? And I think about it too much, while someone else could be like, oh, that's cute, I'm going to get those. And that's just not how I work. But
me too.
It's kind of, always that constant.
Yeah. But that's also my thing around, like, why are they so good at just choosing? I mean, I used to spend a lot of time thinking about how other people behaved. I mean, it still comes back to me. Like, why are they able to do that? Why can I not do that? Why does it seem like most people have an easy time with this? There was just a lot of like, why are they like this and why am I like this?
Definitely. And that's another comparison thing that's probably not healthy, but I was definitely thinking the same thing. Like, even today, I'm in a class at my community college that I'm taking online, and I'm trying to write this essay, and I tested out all the grades, and even if I do pretty bad, I can still get a good grade. So, but it's taking me so long to write it because I want it to be really good. And I was texting my friend, I'm like, why am I like this? Like, some people would realize that it doesn't have to be perfect for them to do well in the class, and they just do it like decently and they'd be fine. But I put myself through this because I need it to be up to that standard all the time. But it's like painful for me to always be going through that.
It's terribly painful, and it stops us from being able to do stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I never thought I could write a book because I never thought it would be good enough. And I would read amazing authors and I'd be like, well, I can't be that person, so I can't do this. And it's just the level of like perfection we expect. We're just kind of shooting ourselves in the foot about it. Like, to, you know, who's really noticing? Who's noticing the difference between what you would do, which I'm sure is really good, and like what you think is perfect or what you think is good enough?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I'm the same way. And it's just, when you were talking about comparing other people with your book, I feel like I do that all the time, because I want to do all these cool things, but I'm like looking at people that are like role models for the same thing. I'm like, well, I could never do that. And then it just becomes overwhelming because I want to be like that, but I don't know how to get there. And then it becomes too much. And it's just this constant, like, everyday thing, even for little things in my life.
Well, one of the things that could help is if you realize that you may have your own audience for what you're doing that is your specific people, your time and place, your experience, your identity, all these different things that even your heroes don't have. Like, even my heroes haven't done the things I've done in Silicon Valley, and they haven't done these, you know, we each have our own little special things that set us apart. But they're also often the things that make us feel awkward. So you're working to like find yours. And that's totally how it should be. You should be it's understandable that you think these heroes are doing it so much better, but actually you're the only high school student I'm having an interview with. Mia, you're amazing. You are the only high school student that I'm talking to. Like, the fact that you've even just done this and you've achieved this, like, it really sets you apart. It's really special.
Thank you. That means a lot to hear. Cause yeah, I guess I just always am like comparing, but when you say like everyone does have something that sets them apart, and I think I don't need to find it yet, because it's like what you said, when you're younger, it's something that you think is kind of awkward, but then that's what sets you apart when you're older. And when you're comparing, you just have to keep that in your mind that, like, you have your own thing and that person doesn't have this because you're your own unique person. And sometimes I just have to remind myself
it's true. It's totally true. You do just have to remind yourself of it. And it is absolutely true. But I can say, even from, like, barely knowing you, the fact that you reached out to me, the fact that you wrote me these emails, the fact that you wanted to do the podcast, like, you're already set apart, my friend. You really are.
Thank you. That means a lot. But yeah, thanks. But I'll get back to just kind of like the overthinking in general. So what is the difference between this and regular, what people call like regular anxiety?
There isn't necessarily a big difference. I think that can you be an overthinker and it be healthy? I think that's the question. And inherent in the idea of overthinking is that it's too much. Mm-hmm. And what makes it overthinking? That's when you're thinking so much that it's inhibiting your relationships, affecting your work, making you physically sick. For me, it was migraines, dizziness, fainting. Like, overthinking meant I was sick. So that's what I think of when I think of overthinking. Now, before I was diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, I didn't know that was what was happening. But now in retrospect, I think it's basically the same thing. Overthinking and anxiety are the same. Anxiety is just a bigger umbrella term that means other things as well.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said it that way, because I do think like anxiety is pretty much overthinking, just kind of like in different forms, and it all kind of comes together. So yeah, you were talking about the physical form. And I think that definitely, I think it differs between people, because for me, when I'm getting anxious, I do get these, like, I feel the heartbeat and all of the, like, the normal things you feel with anxiety, but I never gotten migraines, and I do think it differs. But I wanted to talk about, I know you mentioned this before, but like, what is the wave that I know you've talked about this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So the wave is the hormones that hit our body as we are experiencing anxiety. Well, basically that is what anxiety is. Anxiety is mm-hmm. the hormone wave. So this is things like adrenaline, cortisol, neoepinephrine. These things basically come into our system and we feel them as like a hit of anxiety, but really to understand, like, that's something going through your body. And as they leave, you can get a little shaky. You can have feelings after the hormone wave. And instead of feeling confused, it's more a matter of understanding, ah, the wave is over. Like, I survived another wave. And just kind of living in harmony a little more with something that's going to happen to you anyway.
Yeah. And once you kind of understand the science, like the scientific side behind it, it's really interesting, because when I'm going through, or when I'm feeling anxiety or overthinking a lot, when you actually think about what's happening in your body, and that if you just take deep breaths and that physically like calms down your nervous system and switches to the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the less of the fight or flight, it's really like interesting to think that that's actually going on, and that's why you're feeling all these feelings.
You're exactly
not
right.
Not a lot of people, yeah, not a lot of people even know that. But definitely you can, I think this happens for me with anxiety, and if I'm just feeling like mad for no reason, I can feel it in my body, and I kind of just have to accept, like, I know how this goes, and I know that it goes away because it's just the hormones.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So if you have your sympathetic nervous system is flight or fright,
Fight or flight.
Thank you. Sympathetic nervous system is fight or flight. For some reason, I always want to say fright or flight. It's all bad. That's your sympathetic nervous system. Your parasympathetic nervous system is rest and digest. Mm-hmm. And this is the side that many of us don't think of actively, but it's meant to balance the sympathetic nervous system. So the more we can engage in things that build up our parasympathetic nervous system, that help with our vagus nerve and vagus tone, and these are things that you hear once you start like researching anxiety, you are actually learning to balance. And there are types of breathing that can, you know, build up your parasympathetic nervous system and help like balance your, the way that your nervous system works. And it helps me a lot. It helps me a lot just to understand, okay, this is the science of it. This is what I need to do. And this is how it's going to feel better.
Yeah. Same with me, because I think it can feel like you're out of control, but when you really think about it, you can do things like the breathing, which we'll talk about, and it's actually physically going to this other side that is the less, the side that you're not stressed in, the parasympathetic, rest and digest. And you can kind of at least try to control, and that kind of gives, that kind of definitely helps me, because I feel like it's not out of my control. Some parts of it I can do something about.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like, I know that people that work out a lot, like if you have one muscle that's huge and one muscle that's tiny, sometimes you need to balance those muscles. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want to overwork one muscle all the time, right? We want to work so that they're kind of even. And it's the same with that. Like you need to build up your rest and digest so that it can balance out the behavior that's overactive on the other side.
Yeah, and I think the building up is like just practicing these breathing exercises or stuff like that when you're feeling anxious, and then it'll kind of come more naturally and it'll be a balance between them. Definitely.
Yes. And recognizing it. I mean, I always feel like the first thing is recognizing, like, this is happening. Okay. That's huge. I never had that. Like I didn't, sometimes it's really hard to recognize when it's happening.
Yeah. And I think it can just be this like feeling of overwhelm, and it's just a lot, but it definitely does help when you recognize it, because you know what to do. Yeah. So totally. I want to talk about how this form of anxiety, overthinking and perfection, affects teens specifically.
I'm interested. I mean, I'm always looking to learn that as well. Well, here's what I've seen. It's worse now, because it's almost like when I was a teenager, people didn't know about it. But I think a lot of people like me still had those experiences.
Yeah.
But we were unaware. But I think there's a growing awareness. And with that awareness comes almost like fear of fear, like almost like, wait,
like,
do I
too
have a
much,
mental
like
health
you,
problem?
You know, yeah. What's happening to you. Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Yeah. And so I think that because there's so much more awareness that mental health is an issue, but there isn't a ton of awareness of how to treat people. There's not like a total agreement on, for example, for me, talk therapy is not what I need. I'm already anxious. I already think and talk a lot. What I need is more sensory experiences.
Okay.
Cognitive behavioral therapy works, where it's just very action-based. But those things aren't like widely understood. Right now, everyone's just like, let's go to talk therapy. And it's not always the right fit. So I think it's hard for teens specifically, because their parents don't always have the information and knowledge. Like, but there is more information and knowledge in social media. So, but still there's no consensus out in the world. It's almost like it's a weird time. Like when I was growing up, no one knew anything, including me. Nowadays, younger people do know, but there's still no solutions.
Yeah. There's
answers.
No like connection to actually getting. Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that about talk therapy, because I didn't even know that. I mean, I didn't assume that it worked for everyone, but it differs based on the person.
Some people, and you know what? No one talks about that. It does differ. Mm-hmm. Like people seem to say like, oh, you need to go to therapy, but it's like,
yeah, like it's the whole consensus thing where everyone, there's a lot more awareness, but people say like, people try to help, and it's definitely all in good intentions. Like, let me try to help you. Like we can go talk to someone, but I think it's true that there is not everyone knows enough of what they need for themselves, because therapy, like you're saying, is just kind of this, like, it's the it helps everything.
It's monolithic. It's like, yeah, it's this one thing, and it's, you know, you're feeling bad, you're having a mental health issue, therapy.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, it's like, what you actually need to do is to learn how to tune into yourself to find the help you need. But the tuning in process is super unclear. There's no, like, this is how you tune in. So it's still a mess. It's still a bit of a mess.
It's really difficult, because definitely like, self-knowledge and knowing what works for you is really important. And that's something I've been doing for the past year. And it's really just, like, giving me insight on what I need, but it's definitely this, like, gap.
Almost like you wish you could talk to, like, 40-year-old Mia, and that she could tell you, look, I tried these 50 things, and here are the 4 things that really work for Mia. Mm-hmm. But, like, you can't do that. So you have to go through all these experiences to, like, try to figure it out.
Exactly. And that's how you make up this, like, 40-year-old person, because you go through all these things and then you realize what works, because it's not just going to happen immediately. Yeah. So going back to the whole teen thing, I think definitely in school, still being in school, a lot of people think, like, this perfectionistic quality is a good quality, and definitely it's helpful in school. But sometimes at some point, like what I was talking about with this, like, essay thing, is it becomes overwhelming, and you do things that you don't need to do, but because, like, our standards are so high, or, like, I have to, like, it's just so, like, narrow-minded, like, I need to get there, even though, like, logically I don't need to be doing all this stuff.
Well, it's really hard in a testing and grading situation like you're in. It's like, okay, so what do I have to do to get this grade? What do I have to do to get this test? And, you know, to pass this test or to get a great grade on this test. And it's similar, like, it's much easier when you're older and you're in a workforce, because you can figure out what you have to do at work, and you sort of have to do this other stuff for yourself. Mm-hmm. But when you're younger, you're still trying to figure out, you're still building those work habits, and you're still figuring out how to, like, communicate with teachers or whatever. And you can't know how both to take care of your own mental health and create, and maybe not get as good of a grade. Like, is that even okay? Like, I'm going to choose to get a B for my own mental health. That's not, like, encouraged in the system. It's hard.
No, absolutely not. And, like, just, I mean, it's just funny because I can tell that's, because just listening to that, I'm like, no, like, I could, like, why would I do that? Like, why would I do that to myself? But, like, sometimes you just need to take a step back and, like, realize it's okay. And I think it's the overthinking where I always get caught up in this one thing. But then when it's over, I'm like, it's over. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. I probably did not have to put so much effort.
Like,
and
was it really,
like,
worth
it? Put in an effort, but I put so much energy and, like, time for something that was probably not that important, you know?
Yeah. And that's a really hard thing to understand. Like, how much effort is worth this? Like, how much is another hour of effort going to make it? How do you know? Like, how do you judge the amount of effort? It's really hard.
And for certain things, it's important to put in all of your effort, but I think it's those things where sometimes it can become harmful if you exert yourself mentally. You know what I mean?
Because sometimes you have to say things like 100 times before you actually get it. Yeah. And then once you get it, you're like, thank you, I finally got it.
That's I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know we were talking about kind of like comparing and stuff like that. So what are some other things people do as a result or part of overthinking that are detrimental to our mental health?
Comparing is huge. I mean, comparing is one of the worst things mm-hmm. because you're only seeing one facet of another person. Like, for example, if you're comparing with your neighbor about, like, you know, their house or something, like, you don't know the whole picture of their life. And it's just a very toxic, you're never going to be able to live up to the external portrait of someone else. I think another is mind reading. So thinking that you know what someone else is thinking.
Yeah.
That's a hard one.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And it's the whole external thing is it's logically you're thinking, and this is like, this happens on social media. Like I think all the time, like, oh, like they're so perfect and all these pictures and stuff. And I know that's like so cliche, but logically, of course, like they have struggles and they go through things and they're not perfect, but somehow I can't think that way. And I'm like, no, but like, I think they're so superior and I want to be like that. You know what I mean? And this culture just became so toxic and it adds to our like high standards and overthinking.
I know, it's horrible. I also think it's really hard to speak out in a way that isn't super stressful as you're learning something new. For example, everyone reads the same headlines and then they all say the same thing and you hear everyone saying the same thing on social media. And it's really hard to be like, wait, do I even agree with that? Should I even say that? You're just like, I guess everyone's saying this, so I should say it. It's a terrible, it's the group dynamics are very, very difficult.
It's very something like this could be like a whole nother conversation, but like the internet, this new culture is very like, I wouldn't say like mob mentality, but it's like
Would say mob mentality.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you think about it, because it's all like one thing and you have, it's like this pressure to believe what other people say
yes.
and do things and you feel bad for not doing them, but like, but it doesn't mean I don't know.
It doesn't mean you don't care.
You're bad. And it doesn't mean you're doing other things. You always have to put on this show, you know?
Yes. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's so terrible because you feel like you have to be right about all these different topics, right? I have to have the right opinion about this, about this, about this. But you're still figuring out what your opinion is. And like, the way social media works, it's such a fast thing. Like, this is right. This is wrong. This is right. And you're like, I don't know. I'm still figuring it out. Give me space. Like, it's not how it really works. And it doesn't allow for conversation. And conversation can, like, help you figure stuff out.
Yeah. And it's all these, like, opinions. And you're like, I don't know what to believe. But when you see something, you're like, oh, that's true. Even though you shouldn't just believe everything you see. And it kind of, like, it becomes overwhelming and it's too much for us to handle sometimes. You kind of just have to break it down and that's why it's good to take breaks. Definitely.
It's definitely good to take breaks and it's definitely good to talk to people in real life. Like I think the more people behave a certain way on social media and then you're with them outside and you're like, wait, you're not really like that. Like you would never say those things. You would never be so, black and white about things, like so absolute as you are on social media in real life.
Yeah. And I think we've grown into this, especially like my generation. It's like, you do things because you don't even really know why, but you do things because you want to be like other people. And we have this like toxic mentality and I know I have it and I don't want to have it, but like, you just want to be that way, you know? And it's just,
You know what? You don't want to be alone and you want to have the answer. Like it's really hard not to have the answer. It's really hard to be like, I don't have an opinion about that. Or I haven't formulated a coherent point of view.
And that's something like me as like a perfectionist overthinker, like I don't really like when things are ambiguous. Like I need to make specific goals. I like crossing things out and getting them done. And like, I like when things are just like this, this, this. Like, I'm not saying I can't be like creative, but I like when things are laid out and I can understand them and they're specific, you know, and it's hard to come to that opinion when there's all these things coming at you.
And for some of these, you know, overthinkers, we tend towards absolutes. We tend towards black and white thinking mm-hmm. and catastrophizing. And some of these topics are very grayscale. There is no like, this is right, this is wrong. Like a lot of things have a lot more complexity than that. but social media makes it seem like it's super simple. And I think it's like really, it's hard for our identities. It's confusing.
It's really confusing. And it's difficult to understand. You're like, for us, we want it like this or this, but it's confusing when you're given all this information and you have to kind of decide what you want to believe when it's not black and white.
I know. It's terrible. It's so hard. And like, I mean, I've just been feeling like I've been stuck in that for 6 months. I've been like, I don't know, you know, should businesses start to open? Like, I don't think the economy should, I don't want people to get sick. It's really hard to have like just a right, easy answer. You know,
you hear all these things and it's really profound. And I'm like, yes. And then I hear an opposing thing. And like, what do I believe?
What if my husband sometimes says this to me, what if you don't have to choose? Like, what if you don't have to formulate a truth on everything?
I think I always want to like understand the situation and like say, this is how I feel, or at least just understand what's going on and like try to talk it out with myself, because I don't like when things are ambiguous. But I think some people probably can just be like, okay, whatever.
It's hard for me. It's really hard for me, but it's also hard for me to know how I feel. Like sometimes I'm just very confused about what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it takes time. Maybe you won't know how you feel until a year from now. Maybe in a year I'll be like, you know, but that's hindsight too. But like, you know, I think the balance of opening businesses, blah, blah, you know, just like trying to figure it out then.
Yeah. And that's why it's hard, because I want to understand it now, but sometimes it's just not. And maybe in 1 or 5 or 10 years, you'll look back and understand. And that's kind of when you grow and realize. But
yeah.
Anyways. So I know your book is full of these, but just tips for like when you're feeling you're feeling anxious and overthinking just in that moment. There's a few that I use. I sometimes use just like regular deep breathing, because like what we talked about, just that physical side of it. And sometimes I just think that like, I cannot control this. Like what I think will not change anything. And that's kind of interesting for me to think about, because sometimes I'm the last one asleep and I get freaked out that like someone's outside. And then I thought last night, and this was like a revolutionary idea for me. I was like, if I'm like, there's either someone or there's not. And if I'm scared about it, that won't change it. Like that won't change my ability to like do anything. And most likely there's not someone. And I was like, that's really, I don't know. I just thought about that. I'm like, wow.
No, it's huge. You let yourself off the hook because you're not in control. Accepting what you can't control is huge. It's very hard for overthinkers, but like you did it. You found out a way to do it. You said to yourself, this is a situation. No matter what I feel, that's going to be the truth. That's huge.
And that is like, that was definitely a big change for me. And I think it's just practicing those things and you kind of grow, and I don't think it's ever going to get 100% better, but you can kind of understand more and not be so like out of control.
Well, so I also think
you is,
well, one of the things, Mia,
oh, sorry.
Think,
no, go ahead.
One of the things I think is true that can really is that the first few times you do it, it's hard to be like, whether I think this or not, but over time it actually becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm.
That you're just like, I can't control it. I can't control it. You know, you get better at that over time.
Yeah. And it's just like the practicing, just how anxiety is kind of like just a habit, just thinking the negative, you know? So just for the last thing I wanted to talk about, the last thing I wanted to ask you is, what, do you have any tips that you use or things in the moment, that you always are going back to?
So this one is in the book. This is half in the book, half not in the book. Mm-hmm. So I use this catchphrase, protect the head, when I'm thinking about whether to do something or not.
Okay.
So for example, I'll think, should I watch more news or should I look at social media? And then I think, what is protecting the head? And I'll be like, no, you should not protect the head. Don't do it. And part of it is that confusion, like we talked about, like, do I need to do this to be a good person or an informed person? Like, well, my job is to protect the head so that I'm able to take care of other people. So, you know, it just helps. And then the other thing that is not in the book is that I say to myself, your brain is listening. And what that means is, like, when you talk out loud, your brain actually hears you. So if you say, that's why I was like, you're not necessarily indecisive. Because if you say, I'm indecisive, your brain is like, I'm indecisive. So learning to tell your brain good things by speaking out loud is huge.
Yeah. And another thing I was going to add, like what you just said, is the affirmations. And sometimes I feel cheesy saying it, but if you say, like, I'm amazing and I'm going to, like, do great on this test, like, you start to believe it. And
because your brain is listening, because your brain is listening, your brain hears you. And you know, the more real you can make it, the more it works with your brain. So if you're like, you know, I studied really hard, I think I'm going to be able to do this. I can do this. I'm going to do well. I've done well in the past. Your brain is like, that's true.
I think we're just so wired to think like, why would I say that? No, like we're always like towards the negative, but I think just slowly practicing to bring ourselves back to like being optimistic. And it's so like out of, like, I'm just so not used to doing that because I'm just always negative, but it's good and it will help us in the long run. So yeah, I think that's where, that's all I have to talk about, but thank you so much. I had such a great time, and all those tips we talked about, I'm definitely going to use them. And yeah.
Mia, you're amazing. You really are amazing. Your questions were great. I'm so appreciative of you. And I know that I just can't wait to see what you do. I think you're going to do amazing stuff.
Thank
it's you
no
so pressure.
Much.
Like, I just think you really are. And so great work.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Take care.
Bye.